George Carlin once said that underneath every cynic is a disappointed idealist. And I think that's the perfect place to start this video. Because if you're a functional melancholic, chances are you're not hopelessly, pathetically depressed. You're just something like a closet idealist who's more than a little bit heartbroken that reality didn't turn out the way you hoped. You see, people think cynics hate everything and everyone, but in truth, I don't think it's hate at all. I think of it as a form of unrequited love, or maybe disenchantment. It's sort of like finding out that the Wizard of Oz is just some dude behind a curtain. You wanted magic, and instead you got a guy pulling strings and yelling into a megaphone. And I think that's the root of being a functional melancholic. It's not about sitting in the dark and listening to sad music, feeling sorry for yourself, and gazing into the abyss 24/7. It's about being aware of and carrying this constant low-level grief that the world isn't as kind or as sane or as meaningful as you desperately wanted it to be. And nonetheless, somehow, you still manage to pay the bills and show up to work, and sometimes you laugh your ass off at how absurd it all is. Because what else are you going to do? So today, I want to go through the official checklist. Signs you might be a functional melancholic. Now, I don't want to slap a trendy label on it, like it's some personality quiz on, I don't know, BuzzFeed's cooler nihilistic cousin. I just think that sometimes it's good to know you're not alone in feeling like this. I mean, putting a name on the abyss helps you feel some sense of agency, even if it won't net you a bumper sticker that says, I survived my own thoughts. Okay, so here we go. Sign number one, your default mood is mild existential dread. Not a full-blown panic attack, just a gentle awareness that existence might just be a cosmic joke. Kind of like a consistent background hum. The existential equivalent of your refrigerator running all night. It's not that you're plotting your own demise. It's you're just quietly aware that one day the sun is going to go supernova and it's going to swallow everything you've ever known. And somehow, you still show up for your dentist appointments. Because, you know, you're responsible like that. Okay, sign number two. You constantly wonder, is this all there is? Is life really just wake up, sit in traffic, pretend to care about an email chain, scroll social media, eat some overpriced food, pay bills, watch a documentary about serial killers, sleep, repeat. You know, we always hear this phrase, life is what you make it, which is fine. But what if what I want to make is nothing? What if I just want to lie on the floor and contemplate the void for a while? All right, sign number three. you sometimes suspect that what people call depression might just be something like a heightened awareness. I mean, look around. The world is cooked, and billionaires are building these doomsday bunkers, and apparently we're all supposed to stay motivated by drinking some sort of fancy green juice and saying affirmations in the mirror. You know, personally, I think it'd be a little strange if you weren't a little down about all this. But, and this is important, being melancholic, it doesn't mean you're stuck in a victim mindset. It doesn't mean that you're broken. It might just mean you see things clearly and you still keep going anyway. I don't think that's weakness. I think that's actually somewhat courageous. Because here's the secret. People like us, we're not cynical because we hate the world. We're cynical because we actually love the world. And we wish it would just get its shit together. All right. Let's keep going. Because there's plenty more signs that you might be a functional melancholic. So let's talk about how a functional melancholic moves through the world like a semi-functional adult, despite quietly suspecting that this whole human experiment might be some cosmic clerical error. Sign number four. You're good at small talk, you just secretly hate it. And it leaves you feeling exhausted. You can chat about weather patterns and traffic or the slightly above average muffin at the coffee shop, etc., etc. You nod and you smile and you say, "Oh, wow, really?" Like a pro. Meanwhile, you're silently screaming inside, "Please, someone ask me if consciousness is a mistake or whether time is a flat circle." But no, let's discuss your new patio furniture. All right, sign number five. People tell you all the time, "Wow, you're so mellow," or you're so laid back. And yeah, you probably are. But here's the thing. It's not because you've reached some enlightened Zen state. It's more likely because you've officially run out of fucks to give. And coworkers think you're some kind of a Buddha. But in reality, you're probably just emotionally bankrupt and the bank is closed. Sorry, your account has insufficient funds. And someone could yell at you about missing a deadline, and your brain goes, "Huh, interesting. I wonder how long a human body can float in the ocean before the fish start nibbling." Perspective, right? Okay, number six. Chances are you are an introvert. And if you've ever taken one of those personality tests, odds are you are an INFJ or something close to that. Which, according to the Myers-Briggs folks, means you're basically a philosophical jellyfish floating through life and absorbing everyone else's emotional states while quietly dying inside. All right, look, we didn't ask to feel all the feelings, but here we are. Hyper aware, hypersensitive. You might even be an HSP, aka a highly sensitive person, and yet somehow expected to keep chatting about the damn weather. I mean, sure, go ahead and label me an INFJ if it helps, but I would like a t-shirt that reads introverted but willing to discuss cats. Speaking of which, introverts like us are kind of like cats. We like people well enough, just not all the time, and definitely not without some advance notice. All right. Sign number 7. Dark humor is your love language. Now, maybe your friends and family are a little worried that you're too negative. But if the void staring back at me, if the void is staring back at me, I'm damn well going to try to make it snort milk out of its cosmic nose. Because for people like us, dark humor is less about being edgy and more about surviving the fact that existence is painful, but nonetheless, usually hilarious. I mean, it's either you laugh or you start screaming into your pillow at 2 a.m. And screaming is a bit juvenile and melodramatic, don't you think? So we laugh for the most part. Okay, still with me? Great. Because we're not quite done yet. Let's talk about some of the weird ways we try to soothe our existential dread, some of which involve plants. Lots and lots of plants. And some of which involves almost nothing whatsoever. All right. Next up, let's talk about how we try to cope with the absurdity of being alive. So, sign number 8. You either self-soothe with minimalism or you develop random obsessions. Some days you want to live with one folding chair, one spoon, and a single perfectly curated plant named Frank. And other days, you somehow own 37 succulents, and they all have names and personalities, of course. And maybe some of them are quietly judging you. And don't pretend your fiddle leaf fig doesn't look disappointed when you forget to water it. You know damn well what I mean. Okay. Sign number 9. You're tired most of the time. Not just physically, cosmically. It's the kind of fatigue that seeps into your bones and makes you question whether the human soul has a warranty you could cash in. And people say shit like, dog, get some rest. And you're like, rest from what? Existence? I guess I'll just rest when I'm dead, you know? But here's the fucked up part. You're oddly proud of how tired you are, as if being this exhausted must mean you're doing life properly in some convoluted way. Or let's just say, at least you're showing up for it. Okay, sign number 10. You feel guilty for not being more grateful. But you're also deeply annoyed by these gratitude lists. So Oliver Berkman talks about this in his book, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking, which I highly recommend reading. He basically says the relentless pursuit of happiness can actually make you more miserable. I mean, this falls right in line with toxic positivity. Basically, the more you try to force yourself to be positive, the more you feel like a failure when you're not. It's a vicious loop. I think there's a fine line between genuine, healthy gratitude and gratitude that shames you for having any bad feelings in your life. It's like writing a gratitude list and suddenly feeling guilty because, well, you have so much to be grateful for, right? But meanwhile, the back of your brain is screaming, yeah, but we're all gonna die anyway, so what's the point of clean towels and something like artisanal olive oil? Well, I think both things can be true, actually. Okay, sign number 11. You secretly enjoy picturing the world ending, which could be why post-apocalyptic movies and shows are so popular. Not because you want to see people suffering or dying in abysmal conditions, but because it sounds like a break from the monotonous grind of our current lives. No more emails, no more phone calls, just you and maybe your dog and a campfire in the middle of nowhere, which is now everywhere, and the gentle sound of civilization crumbling into dust. And by the way, I did a whole video on this particular topic. So Oliver Berkman says, the more you accept that life is uncertain and sometimes hopelessly messy, the more freedom you actually feel. So maybe daydreaming about the apocalypse is just your brain trying to remind you that control is really just an illusion. Okay, and finally, sign number 12. You're not a victim. You're actually strangely empowered. I don't think being melancholic means you're weak. It doesn't mean you're stuck with a victim mindset. It means you're awake enough to see the mess, but you're still showing up for it. And I think it means you're one of those people George Carlin was talking about, idealists underneath all the shit. You want the world to be better. And truly, you want people to hurt less. Ideally, you just want life to make some sense. And sometimes that's why you're exhausted, because you give a damn, even when you pretend you don't. So I believe that when you just own up to being a functional melancholic, it's actually weirdly empowering. You stop pretending to be relentlessly cheerful, and you stop apologizing for feeling things deeply. And sometimes you even use all that empathy and insight to help other people feel the same way. So if you related to at least a few of these, welcome. You're probably part of a not so secret society of humans who feel things a little too deeply and think a little too much, and somehow keep getting out of bed anyway. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with being melancholic. It doesn't mean you're doomed or that you're a doomer. And it doesn't mean you have to wallow in despair. You know, like Oliver Berkman says, sometimes happiness is about lowering your expectations, letting go of trying to control everything, and just being okay with not being okay. So here's a few things that helped me. I've said this one many times before. Laugh at the absurdity. It's cheaper than therapy. Find other weirdos who get it. They're out there. Stop chasing endless positivity like it's some golden ticket. And remember, I don't think cynicism means you've given up. I think it means that deep down you might be an idealist who's still trying. Okay. I guess that's all I got today, folks. Thanks for watching.